It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Next month, the NBA All-Star Game will showcase a long-awaited matchup between U.S. and international players in the NBA. With the theme U.S. versus World, a team of international players and two teams of U.S. players will go head-to-head. Milwaukee Bucks favorite Giannis Antetokounmpo, hailing from Greece, will be playing on the international team. With a spotlight on the wealth of talent in international players, the Bucks organization is releasing a new documentary podcast about a game that shaped the global future of the sport back in 1987.
Today it's a historic occasion for the Milwaukee Arena. It's the first basketball game ever between an NBA team and the Soviet national team. It's a McDonald's Basketball Open, the championship game between the Milwaukee Bucks and the USSR.
That is the 1987 exhibition game between the Bucks and the Soviet Union national team. The Bucks won in a blowout, but the game changed international basketball forever. The new four-part podcast series about the McDonald's Open is called Bucks versus the World, and the first episode just dropped. We're joined by writer and producer Monas Khan, editor-in-chief at Bucks Plus Audio. Monas, welcome to the program.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much, Kate.
The name of this new podcast series, Bucks versus the World, is a take on the theme for this year's NBA All-Star Game, U.S. versus the World. So this new format pitting a team of international players and a couple teams of U.S. players against one another. Can you talk about how these two events are connected between this year's NBA All-Star Game and the 1987 McDonald's Open?
You know, honestly, Kate, it's hard to believe. But back in 1987, there were such few international players in the NBA because, and I really didn't know this when I started producing. I was born in 89, so I wasn't around when the world was so different as it is from today. But international players had to choose between playing for their national team or playing in the NBA, and they could not do both. And so today, the NBA is full of the best players from all over the world. And we're telling the story of why that was able to happen in the first place.
What was international basketball like before this 1987 McDonald's Open in Milwaukee?
There was just this sham notion of amateurism and a complete independence between the NBA and their talent and the talent that played in the Olympics and in the FIBA World Cup. And that was because only NBA players at the time were defined as being professionals, whereas you could be making $800,000 playing for Real Madrid and be one of the world's best players from Yugoslavia playing in the EuroLeague, a 30-year-old or a 25-year-old, but you were still considered an amateur. And so the FIBA Secretary General, his name is Boris Stankovic. He is the main character of our story, the protagonist who changed the world of basketball forever because of his insistence of lowering those barriers and opening the doors so the NBA player could play in the Olympics and these Olympic talent EuroLeague players and international players could finally come to the NBA.
So Stankovic is this mastermind behind the game and a Yugoslavian player, a coach, and he's pushing and pushing to get basically the professionals to be able to play globally and really bring the NBA into the fold. And I want to take a listen here to the former NBA Deputy Commissioner, Russ Granick, in episode one of the podcast. Let's listen.
And we started talking about the future. And he had an issue, I think, particularly to deal with, in that I think a lot of his constituents, the federations in various other countries, didn't necessarily look at the NBA as an ally. And it was clear that, in Dr. Stankovic in mind, we were closing in on a time when the NBA couldn't be the outcast anymore.
What was Stankovic trying to accomplish? And what does he mean to the sport of basketball all over the world?
I think all of us who love Giannis Antetokounmpo, who love Luka Doncic, who love even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a Canadian national, we owe a debt of gratitude to Boris Stankovic because the world was not only defined by the Cold War, defined by the Iron Curtain, it was defined by the notions of what existed at the time. And Boris Stankovic said, why are we limiting ourselves to these structures that are not serving international basketball players. Boris wanted the great players of the era in Yugoslavia, in Russia, in Italy, in Spain to get better. And they would never reach their true potential as players and athletes if they didn't play against the best players. And by playing basketball on the court with NBA players and against NBA players, only then could the basketball players around the world, of which there are tens or hundreds of millions of people around the world today playing basketball, only then could they reach their true potential. So not only did he want us to be able to enjoy basketball to the fullest as entertainment by having the best players in the world playing against and with one another, he also wanted these players themselves to be able to reach their true potential. And they could only do so by challenging themselves against the best players in the world. And those players were in the NBA.
So this is also happening in the midst of the Cold War, U.S., former Soviet Union, facing off against one another, vying for dominance in not just basketball, in multiple sports. But in this tournament, the Bucks missing key players, Soviet Union had talent. How did these teams stack up against one another in this time?
The Soviet Union in 1987 could easily hold claim to being the best national team in the world. In fact, they proved that at the Olympics in 1988. And there was a level, there's an unknown element that no one had, they couldn't scout one another. In the Soviet Union, you couldn't even watch basketball. They had to smuggle in tapes of the NBA in order to watch professional basketball. And so these teams did not have a lot of information on one another. There was just this ignominy. There was this just this feeling of the unknown floating over everything. And unfortunately, the Bucks lost their best player, an all NBA talent, defensive player of the year, all defensive player, Hall of Famer, Sidney Moncrief, goes down with a knee injury, out for the season days before the tournament. There was a lot at stake, and no one knew what was going to happen on the court.
And it, you know, you kind of scratch your head and think, why the Bucks in with these three teams? I mean, they weren't top of the division in 86, 87. Why was Milwaukee hosting this first ever tournament? What did you find out?
It's because the NBA didn't want to roll out the best team, you know, the Celtics or the Lakers, to just embarrass the FIBA opponent. And they also didn't want to roll out the worst team. They wanted a really respectable, great team. And that's where it started with, that Milwaukee had gone seven straight seasons winning 50 games each season, a streak that they were not even able to accomplish in the Giannis Antetokounmpo era to this point. They reached three Eastern Conference Finals in the five seasons before the tournament, something that this Bucks team, although it won a championship, has not been able to do either, the Bucks team today. And so it's just to show you just how great that Bucks team of that era was. And the second component is they wanted to put it in a city where everyone in town was focused on that event. And so if you put it in too big of a city, there's too much going on and it might get lost. And so Milwaukee was a place where the fans loved the team. The NBA knew they would show up. It was a great team of the era. And that's why this moment in basketball history that would end up changing the global basketball forever, it happened in Milwaukee.
We're talking about this new documentary podcast series about a 1987 exhibition match between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Soviet Union national team. And this is a game that shaped the future of international basketball. The podcast is called Bucks versus the World. It's narrated by comedian Charlie Behrens. And the first episode is out now. We're joined by series writer and producer Monas Khan. Monas, you know, iconic Wisconsin voice, comedian author Charlie Behrens is the narrator. Let's take a listen. Here he is talking about the NBA and FIBA choosing Milwaukee for the tournament because it would be the only show in town.
Okay, you guys are making it sound like there's nothing to do in Milwaukee. Silly NBA, nothing to do. That same weekend, there was plenty to do. There was a conference called Woman to Woman. There was a train show that time of year. I mean, the walleyes are biting like Michigan. You know, they're lucky people even showed up is what I'm trying to say, because people showing up, that was the name of the game.
OK, people showing up, that was the name of the game. What is Charlie Behrens pointing out in this moment?
The NBA wanted one thing, and that was a packed house. That was going to it was going to send a message to FIBA, all of the FIBA representatives that were finally coming to an NBA game for the first time. It was going to send a message to fans on TV. Like, international basketball is something that is in demand, and they wanted a packed house. In fact, there were so many people at the stadium. The Bucks hosted the original Deer District, which they called a global block party, outside of the stadium with a giant TV. And it was the Deer District that came over 30 years later. It wasn't the first. Actually, the global block party outside of the 1987 McDonald's Open finale, final game, Soviet Union versus the Bucks, was the first time the Bucks hosted something like that. And it was just meant to show the world that basketball matters here in Milwaukee, and NBA fans want to see international talent in the NBA.
We'll be watching the Olympics soon. Prior to 88, NBA players not allowed to compete at the Olympics. That changed after the McDonald's Open in 87. How did that game open the door for the Olympics?
You know, it was really built off of the relationships that Boris Stankovic was able to facilitate between David Stern, the legendary commissioner of the NBA, Russ Granick, who spoke to us for the series, and the FIBA honchos of all the different member states who had a lot of skepticism towards the NBA, who felt like the NBA was very threatening. Now, when they came to Milwaukee to watch the game, to speak with one another, and they saw the mutual respect and admiration, their hearts softened, and they were able to align with Boris Stankovic's future vision for the future of basketball. And that's what was able to lay the groundwork to have the vote in 1989 that eventually was affirmed Boris's vision, his hopes, allowing professional talent, aka NBA talent, to play in the Olympics. And no longer would the great players of Europe and internationally have to choose between their national team and playing in the NBA. Because for the great, even for today's great players, Giannis Antetokounmpo told me before the season that if he had to choose between the NBA and playing for Greece, that would be an impossible choice.
That was such a compelling piece, I think, hearing him say that. Hearing him, the struggle in Giannis's voice about what he would choose. And when you fast forward, you know, to recent years, Giannis has led the Bucks to new heights, the NBA championship ring in 2021. You make the argument that without this game in 87, there is no Giannis on the Bucks. Can you talk about how consequential that is to the NBA today?
Boris Stankovic refused to hold the world back just because everyone said that's just the way it is. And his belief in having the best players play against one another, share the stage, be teammates, be opponents to one another, that belief is what changed basketball forever. He put the vote up because he believed in it. In fact, no one agreed with him. No one thought it was possible. But his insistence put that vision for the world out there and eventually built the consensus to follow along. And that's why we owe him a debt of gratitude. The McDonald's Open was his prototype of this is what basketball can be. It was a success. And the funny thing is that a few years later, when the NBA teams, the New York Knicks in 1990 and the Los Angeles Lakers in 91, they barely survived the games against European teams. The 1991 Los Angeles Lakers, who are coming off an appearance in the NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics, had to have the refs throw them the game. With a little help from their friends, said the Los Angeles Times in the headline, to escape in the finals versus a European club team. You know, the talent gap closed very, very quickly.
And then to today, the NBA and FIBA announcing that they're moving forward with plans for a new league in Europe. And we hear NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, you know, not giving timelines, not saying which teams may be committed to, you know, being on board with it. But is this a move that is furthering, you know, the late, great Boris Stankovic's vision?
I think it shows that all these years later, that project of international expansion of the game to do what's best for not only the game, but all the people who dedicate their lives to it on the court as coaches, that project is still a work in progress. That in order to bring out the best of each of us, in order to give the opportunities for young basketball players The NBA needs to be a partner. No one is better at showcasing the world's best talent than the NBA. And Europe has a real success in developing talent. And the NBA realizes that we need to work together to maximize all of this effort into making basketball the best that it can be. And that's what Boris Stankovic wanted. And that's the project that they're still working on today.
Monas, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for taking us through this history.
No, it was a fascinating project to be a part of, and I'm very grateful to be able to speak with you, Kate, about our work. Thank you.
Monas Khan, editor-in-chief at Bucks Plus Audio, writer and producer of the documentary podcast series Bucks versus the World, telling the story of a 1987 exhibition match between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Soviet Union national team.